Welcome back. Live from the KGGF studio, Sam Speck with you, along with Deborah Woodall on this Thursday morning, as we normally do in the 8 o'clock hour on Thursdays, regarding, it kind of varies who it is, but we make our trip around the thin blue line, and today we speak with the Independence Chief of Police, Jerry Harrison. Jerry, good morning. Happy to have you with us.
Hey, good morning. It's good to be here, Sam.
Oh, yeah, certainly, as I'm sure you, I heard a very eventful night last night with that rainfall, but I'm sure you and a bunch of your guys had a very busy night last night, huh?
Well, on the 14th, we had a very busy night. There was a lot of wet police and firefighters in and out getting assignments from the Emergency Operations Center.
Yeah, it was, by the way, good morning, Chief. Very rough evening over in your area of the county with, first of all, the heavy rainfall. I understand there was quite a bit of street flooding around Independence. Of course, we had the two men. You know, a very tragic reminder of how things can go very wrong during these flash flooding events.
Yeah, that is a tragedy. And, you know, we all seen the phrase, turn around, don't drown. And I can tell you personally, I was trying to get into a neighborhood to get to some people and try to get them out of their vehicle and put myself in a spot where things could have gotten ugly. And it just happened so fast. Fortunately, it worked out for me, but I had to wait for someone else to come to get the other people. But, you know, you can't tell how deep that water is, especially at night. And just don't go into that water. And FEMA says that most flood fatalities are related to driving into deadly waters. And I just, you know, again, you can't see the depth of that water. And you don't realize how deep it is, and oftentimes until it's just too late. It only takes around 12 inches of water to wash a car off the road, and if the current is strong, it only takes about 6 inches of water to knock us off our feet. So you can't tell the depth. And in Kansas, we're not known for changes in elevation. You know, it's fairly flat, and oftentimes the grade of an area isn't that obvious, and so you don't realize how deep that water may get before you get to the other side of it, and you get yourself out there too far, and sometimes you're trapped and you can't get back.
And the other thing with that, Chief, you can't tell sometimes how quickly the water will be moving, and honestly, a lot of times during flash flooding events, I mean, things are okay, but then there's like it's almost like a dam break somewhere, because there will be a rush all of a sudden of water.
That's correct. And even if there isn't that obvious rush of water, you don't know what's under that water. Maybe the road got washed out. You don't know how fast that water is going to come up. So you may not see an obvious rush of water, but the water still may be rising around you and you don't even realize it. And so, you know, the flash flooding and the floods here, it's not something to mess with. I don't have a count of how many vehicles were stranded, and motorists had to be, officers had to come fetch motorists out of their cars, fish them out of their cars. You know, from a resource perspective, number one, you're putting yourself at tremendous risk, obviously. I mean, we had the very unfortunate event of the two gentlemen drowning outside of town, but you know, and it just happens so fast, but you put yourself at tremendous risk. And the other side of that is, when you knowingly place yourself in a tight spot, you know, by driving into that water, you're putting first responders at risk. And, you know, we can avoid that. That's avoidable. It shouldn't be happening. And you're also taking away resources that could be better applied to people or places that are not knowingly placing themselves at risk, that cannot avoid the risk. You know, what if we would have had a retirement home in a low-lying water area, you know, in a low-lying area, like down along the railroad tracks, south of town, the south part of town, around South 10th Street. You know, if we were having to send resources out to evacuate an apartment complex or evacuate, you know, a neighborhood, the people that can't help the situation that they're in, and people that need first responders. And then here we have someone that knowingly places themselves at risk that pulls resources away from that. And so, just from our side of the coin, we're here to protect and serve, and we want to be able to do that the best that we can, and we don't want to take resources away from unavoidable situations.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point that you make as well, because it is kind of, regardless of the age, even really, too, because, sometimes you have plans. Sometimes, man, I really planned on going over to a family member's house, a friend's house, whoever it may be, and, man, it's just coming down so hard right now, and it doesn't seem that high. It doesn't look that high, Deb. It's only a few feet, and then all of a sudden, you insert yourself into that situation. You know, it wasn't the river coming out of nowhere. You put yourself and your vehicle into that kind of danger, and now, unfortunately, some people having to use the emergency services where they could be used elsewhere. So I think that's a good point that you make there, Chief.
Well, and that... what you're talking about right there, Sam, is an excellent point, because it happens all times of year, all times of weather. You know, when the weather's bad, whether it be because of rain, tornadoes, flooding, ice, snow, all these things that increase the dangers of getting out and driving. You know, when we come out in the media, we come out on these notification systems that we have. Like, we have Civic Ready here in Independence. We do not use Nixle. We use Civic Ready, so if you're signed up on Nixle, you're not going to get anything from the City of Independence. So make sure you're signed up on Civic Ready from our website. Make sure that you check the boxes of the notifications that you want to get, because we don't do automatic notifications unless you request that automatic notification in the system. If you don't know how to do that, get somebody to help you. Come down here, we'll help you. But at any rate, we come out on all these different sources of information, and we tell people, stay off the roads, stay off the roads. And we don't tell people to stay off the roads because we don't want them out driving around. We tell them to stay off the roads because we need them to stay off the roads. It's dangerous. We don't want people getting hurt. We want our community to be protected. And we don't want resources being pulled away from things that can't be avoided and dealing with things that could have been avoided. And beyond the obvious, again, there's a lot of things in a flood that you don't think about. One thing that I notice every time that there's a flood, you drive around town and you see new street damage. I was looking at a street. There was a 6-foot chunk washed out of the street, 6 foot deep into the street, and it was 4 or 5 feet deep.
Jeez.
So if that, and it was in a, obviously it's in a low lying spot where the water was rushing over the roadway and ate the dirt out from under the road, and so the road collapsed and washed out. Imagine driving along thinking that you can get through that because you're in 3 or 4 inches of water, and then you hit that, and now you're immediately washed off the road, and you're in 4 or 5 feet of water. I mean, that you would never know that's coming. You would never be expecting it, and that's a real danger. The ditches next to the road can be much deeper than the water on the road. And we all see that, but we don't really consciously think about it because we take for granted what's around us every day. So again, you can't tell the depth. You don't know what's under that water. And I know the people are listening. They're going to drive into that water. So if you find yourself, there are some out there that will. And it's just how it is. When you see, if you think you've got to go into that water, what are the other drivers doing? What are the other cars doing? If you see a car that's not making it through that water, or you see a stranded motorist out in that water, pretty good indication that if they didn't make it, why in the world do you think you're going to make it? Another thing to think about is electricity.
And looky-loos, just stay home.
You're out there trying to be curious and get pictures for Twitter or Facebook or whatever it is people are into. And then again, you take an unnecessary risk, and now you're putting first responders at risk, and now you're taking away resources from people that truly needed them when you didn't need to, by putting yourself in a bad spot.
Yeah.
But, something... Go ahead, Sam.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've always just found that comical. I remember there was a house fire in my dad's neighborhood, and there was people who drove in for miles and blocked off the neighborhood from the fire department just because they wanted to see what was going on. And it took off time from the first responders for them to get there. And it's just, it's not worth, again, if anything, put down your phone and go help another individual instead of sitting there documenting it. But it also arises the statement as well, because I gave my buddy good credit the other night. He was trying to drive through it, and he's got a big old lifted truck, and he said, I don't even think with my truck I can make it. And it's good to have that mindset. Just because you got a big truck, just because you got something with a snorkel on the side of it, it still doesn't take away that danger.
Sure, if that water's moving, I mean, you wouldn't try to walk through there with a sheet of plywood into that moving water. But what makes you think that truck's going to behave any differently than a big sheet of plywood in that moving water? You know, but there's some other things out there that really escape the obvious that no one may be aware of. You know, and it's like electricity. You know, that's we wouldn't play with our toaster and a fork in the bathtub. You know, we don't blow dry our hair in the bathtub, I hope. And so, you know, it's no different in a flood. When you do have flooding in your home, if it's getting up near those plugs, get away from it. Basements, stay out of them. If you hear a crackling or hissing in the water, just get away from it. But that happens when you're driving down the road, too. You know, if a line comes down, a car hits a line, or a line washes down for whatever reason, or a big tree falls on a line, I mean, anything can happen. Puts that line in the water, it may be electrified at that point, and then you're in a real death trap. And you know, stay out of that water. There could be electric lines down. You may not even be able to see them. Other things that could happen is, what if a large object, a dumpster, a tree, something is coming down through there, and it hits your vehicle, and because of the surface area, that item has got a lot of force on it, and it could wash you right off of something you otherwise could have made it through, and put you down. Now immediately, you know, as soon as you get off the street, now you're in 3 or 4 feet of water or more, and you're in real trouble. You could even get into a stronger current right away. And then if you do make it through the water, what about your brakes? We all know what happens when the brakes get wet. You got to dry those things out. You got to ride your brake a little bit and get them dried out so that you're ready to stop. If you do find yourself stalled, abandon that vehicle, get to higher ground. The longer you sit there in that vehicle, the more opportunity it has for water to build up around it and force to increase on it and push you into a worse situation that you may not be able to rescue yourself from. So that's my advice on the water.
Yeah. All right, Chief, and all very good points there. I do want to touch quickly. You've got a drug take-back program coming up soon, too?
Well, it's not coming up soon. It's actually starting. We've had the box for a while. We just had to find a good spot that we could get it secured in, and we've got it all set up. But we do. We have a drug take-back program. We've kind of worked with people in general to help them dispose of their drugs. But now we have a box. It's sitting on the first floor of a temporary city hall here at 811 West Laurel. You can come in during business hours, and it's a secured box so that, you know, we don't have to worry about someone getting into it and taking drugs that they don't need and breaking the law there and putting other people in jeopardy. We can't take hydrogen peroxide, thermometers, any sharps, so no needles, nothing with a needle on it. No medications from businesses or clinics. And there's federal laws that govern how businesses and clinics and emergency health care providers have to deal with medicines to be disposed of. We also can't take inhalers, aerosol cans, ointments, lotions, or liquids. But everything else, prescription medications, vitamins, even your pet medications, medicine patches, over-the-counter drugs and, you know, drug samples you got at one point. All those kind of things can be dropped off. And that's just, you know, we need to keep those out of the environment. We don't want those sitting in the landfill and leaching into the water supply. We don't want them getting flushed down the toilet and getting put into the next town's water supply downstream. We shouldn't be doing that. Even worse, we don't want them falling into a child's hands and they accidentally overdose themselves, or maybe if you have a controlled substance, you know, like opioids or something of that you're prescribed or had been prescribed for a temporary condition, you know, we don't want those getting out there into the drug market and people violating the law.
And I think that's a I think that's a great point that you make as well, that people overlook immediately, is because it is, you know, obviously the passing on from one individual to the next is the most obvious thing that you want to avoid when you have it leftover prescription drugs hanging out in the drug cabinet, whatever it may be, and the kids get a hold of it, or an animal, by goodness, goes through the garbage and gets a hold of it. But you make a good point that, you know, environmentally it does, I mean, make a severe impact, and it really could. I mean, whether it's open water, whether it's areas with livestock, it's people overlook the fact that I was even reading this thing that there was opiates found in some oysters off of the coast in Washington due to the fact of the amount of dumping of prescription drugs in that manner. So it's a good point that you would make there, that it doesn't just, you know, immediately affect from one individual to the next. It does go out and affect the environment as well.
Sure. Sure, and we just want to express our gratitude to Four County Mental Health. They got a grant program so that they could provide those to area law enforcement and other entities that are willing to participate. So we want to thank Four County for that and helping us provide yet another service to our citizens. It, you know, doesn't increase the taxes. Also want to thank Coffeyville PD. We're working together with them on disposal efforts so that we can, there's laws that govern how we handle these things, of course. Yeah. And so we have to be sensitive to that. And so Coffeyville is helping us dispose of these in accordance with federal law.
Awesome. That's Independence Police Chief Jerry Harrison. Thanks for spending your Thursday morning with us, Jerry.
Hey, thank you guys. And I just want to remind everybody that drug drop-off is available from 8 to 5 Monday through Friday except on holidays. So anytime that City Hall is open for business and you need to drop something off, just bring it in, drop it off. We won't take any information down. And you guys take care and appreciate your time.
Thank you much. Good stuff from you, Jerry, always, as we finish our trip around the thin blue line. This is the Mighty 690 KGGF.